to it. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to open your word once again. Please be with us now and open our hearts and minds so we can receive the message you have in store for us and encourage us to turn around and share that with others. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Our Bible study from A to Z, we are currently on the word astrology. If you will, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, astrology, as we commonly know it, is a combination of things dealing with the zodiac, where you have a horoscope and you have different zodiac signs depending on when you were born, such as Aries or Taurus or Gemini or Cancer or Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. Depending on what time of the year or what date of the year you were born. And that's what the horoscope will tell you. Many people will get up and they'll look at the horoscope before they even start their day. And the zodiac, which they base this horoscope on, is an imaginary belt in the heavens or in the universe there up in the stars you see, including the paths of the moon and all the principal planets, the whole basically solar system. And there are things that people dabble in that are connected or aligned with things such as zodiac and horoscope and the moon and the sun and the seasons and so forth. Even the Farmer's Almanac goes back. The Farmer's Almanac was started in China, actually. And it was Tung Shu, or T-U-N-G-S-H-U. And it started as China's imperial astronomical calendar more than 4,000 years ago. The almanac's contributors have included Buddhism, Islam, Taurus, and Christian faiths, which come together to come up with what they use as the almanac of today, which includes fortune-telling, divination, earth magic, herbal medicine, palm reading, charms, moral codes, predictions, legends, lucky and unlucky days, and it still influences a lot of people, and there's over 1 million copies a year that are distributed or sold. And it has its roots in the astrology, horoscope, the zodiac, the dark arts, you might say. And this being the Halloween season, lines up pretty good with this being our word to study tonight. And if you will, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 14. We'll see what the Lord instructed the children of Israel concerning astrology. And it reads, "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it." Of course, this is the words of Moses speaking to the children of Israel. "Take ye therefore a good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire." Of course, this was up on Mount Sinai when the Lord came and met there with Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments and all the statutes and so forth. They did not see God. He did not see God. So that they didn't want the Lord didn't want them to be making a statue or an idol of him, as why he explains here. "Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven." He's telling him, don't be using the things that God has created as something to worship. You're not supposed to worship the stars and let them guide your path. And people pray to the stars, pray to the universe. Islam itself, their God that they pray to, Allah, is actually the ancient moon god. So they're praying to the moon. And they're trying to say, well, they all pray, we all worship the same God. Well, we don't worship the moon. They worship the ancient moon god, Allah. It ain't got nothing to do with Christianity. It ain't got nothing to do with the true and living God. Which reminds me, just recently I saw a post that they had recently opened a session in the House of Representatives here in the U.S. with prayer, a Muslim prayer to Allah. In our country, a Christian-based country, and they opened a session of the House of Representatives praying to a pagan moon god. I mean, this country is such a mess, but I won't get into all that and spend all night talking about that. But those are the warnings that they had all the way back there before the children of Israel got into the promised land, not to be dabbling in such things. And if you will, turn on over to chapter 17, and we'll see further instructions given to them concerning astrology and so forth. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 2, if there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel. In other words, it is an abomination to worship the moon, such as Islam does. Then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which hath committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even the man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. It was once a sentence of death to do such things. But yet today you have people that get up and the first thing they do is they want to look at the horoscope because they are following the stars. They are, in a sense, worshiping astrology and the zodiac and so forth. Turn now on over to chapter 18 and you'll see a further description of this in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9. It reads, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now we know when the children of Israel were given the instruction to go into the promised land, they were told to basically clean house, to eliminate all that paganism, eliminate all that antichrist stuff, all the ungodly behaviors, all the abominations. And he goes over and tells them to make sure you don't partake in that. Don't be learning to do the things that these people were doing because we want to clean all that out. As he continues in verse 10, there shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination. This passing through the fire, they were actually sacrificing their children to Molech. They would burn them in their sacrifice, in their rituals. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. So these observers of times, they were using the stars and so forth and worshiping those, as it even says here, the charmer, the enchanter, the witch, the divination, wizards, necromancy, that was communicating with the dead, and those with the familiar spirits, with those that was actually in communication with a demon. All those things are an abomination and wicked and should not be dabbled in as a Christian. And over into 2 Kings, if you turn over there, you'll see an individual that wound up doing such a thing in 2 Kings chapter 21. Let's pick it up right here in verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigneth 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. But this young man, only 12 years old, has taken the throne, and now he is the ruler. But note what he winds up doing. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. came into the promised land, cleaned all that out, and then they want to go back and start doing the things that the people that were cleaned out were doing. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. His father was a godly man, following with the Lord. He winds up with a kid that does just the opposite. Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, pagan god, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served them. The hosts of heaven, that would be the stars. Back into astrology, back into worshiping the planets, such as Islam, worshiping the moon god. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his sons pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. It's like having a church and turning it into a pagan place of worship. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers. Only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nation whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. They come in and wind up being more wicked than the people that the Lord had cleaned out of that area to give that area to the children of Israel. And then the children of Israel become more wicked than the people they cleaned out. And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, doth these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. Such a judgment coming upon the children of Israel because of their wickedness, because of their dabbling in astrology and the other dark arts, that they would have a reputation that it would, or I should say, it would be so horrible that when people heard it, it would make their ears tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the lion of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down, and I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Judgment coming upon these people because they're doing these ungodly things. And then we here in the United States think it's okay to do such a thing and to open our session at the House of Representatives, prayer to the moon god Allah, and think we're going to get away with it. It is so, so awesome that we are under grace today and not the swift hand of the judgment of God like these people were back then. But because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, we are now under grace, and he has so much more mercy on us, because this country would not have a chance for the way it's behaving today to even exist if the judgment of God was to come down on them for the current behavior in this country. Because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his son, his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. You have somebody come into power that is an ungodly person and moves the entire country into ungodly behavior. And you surely see that happening in this country and across the world when you get ungodly people in charge of the decision making and the guiding of the general population. In Isaiah chapter 47, we start seeing the word astrologers actually come up in 47. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 47, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. This is the prophecy of the destruction of old Babylon, and a message going to them because of their behavior." Now, Babylon had become the great city and will again in the prophecies, there'll be a new Babylon. But this Babylon here, this is the prophecy of their destruction. If you go over there today and study in archaeology and so forth, there are areas that they suspect was the actual foundation of old Babylon. There was even some talk about rebuilding old Babylon over there. And some have speculated that that will actually be the foundation of the new Babylon that we see about in prophecy of the last days. But here, as it unfolds, we see this prophecy of the destruction of Babylon because of their behavior. Now, a Chaldean, as it says here, Chaldeans were the ones that were the enchanters and the stargazers, the worshipers of astrology, and they would look to the skies for signs and so forth. As it continues in verse 2, "Take the millstones and the grind mill, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid my yoke, thy yoke. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the later end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. The selfish attitude and indulgence in sin attitude and behavior of this town, this city of Babylon, and the people therein is what he's referring to here. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children, though widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments." Dabbling in the dark arts again. "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me," puffed themselves up, thinking they were the greatest city and that nobody could take them out. "Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments and with thy multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee." A challenge, like, okay, get your astrologers and your stargazers and your prognosticators together and see what they can do, because they have no power against God, because it is all a false power anyway. "Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored. Even thy merchants from thy youth, they shall wander one to his quarter, none shall save thee. The prophesied destruction of Babylon for their ungodly behavior, and within that list of ungodly behavior was astrologers and stargazers, those that worshipped the zodiac. They got up, checked their horoscope, see what they were going to do that day. So many people dabble in that. Now, if you will, turn on over to Daniel. Daniel deals with these astrologers a lot, because if you remember, he was taken into captivity, into Babylon. He was trained in the arts of the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the wise men, as a young child when he was taken in. As we see in Daniel, where he interprets dreams for the kings, Nebuchadnezzar, and his son, also the dreams that he had. And you can find this all through Daniel chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 5, all through Daniel's encounter with these astrologers, and how every time the astrologers cannot prophesy what the dream is, cannot interpret the dream, they can't do anything. Because it's all fictitious, it's all false, it's all just made up junk that people have come up with and designed. Many, many years ago, granted. I mean, this goes way back. This goes thousands of years ago. That the origin of the astrologers going all the way back to ancient Babylon. Let's look at two accounts here in Daniel chapter 1. Pick it up in verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. This is the interpretation of the dream that was challenged to be to Daniel, if he could interpret it. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had put out a decree that if they couldn't come up with a dream and interpret it, that he was going to have them all killed. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the seasons. He removed kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." So it was revealed to Daniel. God can speak to man. Prophets chosen to be the vessel to receive the wisdom of God and reveal things to that man of God to be utilized to bring honor and glory to God. No one out there or nothing out there can do that. Satan and his demons, as we've said before, if you have someone who has a familiar spirit, the ones who call themselves psychics and their communication with these demons, can tell you things about the current time or about the past. But they cannot tell you anything about the future. That's where devil has no idea about. Only thing the devil knows about the future is what he sees in the scriptures or what he has heard the Lord speak that we don't have recorded here. That's the only thing the devil knows about is what has been prophesied by God. But he does not know your thoughts. He cannot come into your mind. He cannot come into your heart once you've received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If you have not received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then you can be possessed with an evil spirit, a demon, and be totally indwelt with Satan and be one of his servants. But if you have received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, he cannot. He cannot hear your thoughts. He cannot see your thoughts. He does not know anything that you don't reveal him openly and verbally. He will witness your behaviors. He will see your actions. He'll hear your voice, but he cannot indwell you. But when you are not one of God's, you can be indwelt with an evil spirit and be given the wisdom of Satan and those demons, and it would appear to other people that there was a person that had psychic ability. But it is an abomination unto God, because that is Satan and his powers. In Daniel chapter 5 and verse 7, it reads, "The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Of course, this writing is when the king Belshazzar had seen an image of a hand writing a message on the wall. And he wanted an interpretation of it. "Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof." They couldn't do it. They had no idea what it was. But as we know, in verse 15, Daniel chapter 5, verse 15, "And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing." They couldn't read it, had no idea of it, no concept of it, because it's all false, it's all lies. Of course, Daniel interprets it as you read on down into verse 25, the interpretation, Daniel chapter 5, verse 25. "And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin." This is the interpretation of the thing, Mene. "As God hath numbered the kingdom and finished it, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peresh, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. The Lord gave Daniel the interpretation of the writing that was on the wall and a prophecy that what would happen to that kingdom because of the evilness of Belshazzar. But we see all the way through how the use of divination, the use of astrology is an abomination unto God. Do not dabble in that. Do not participate in that. It is totally ungodly. So we will finish it up there with astrology and do a different word next time. But we are totally out of time, so let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It has application in everything. No matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in the world, we can always go to your scriptures and find the guidance that we need. Please keep us hungry to dig into your scriptures all the time and grow closer to you through the process. Thank you so much for the opportunity we've had tonight. Lead, guide, direct everything. Consider all those prayer requests that we lifted up to you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.